God bless you. Welcome to Heart of Worship Podcast, Season 2, Episode 3. I'm joined here to my right, my brother Doogie.
God bless you guys.
To my left, my brother Angelo.
God bless you.
And all the way to my left, my brother Kolya.
Amen. God bless you guys.
So, a little bit something different tonight, I feel. Not our common direction. We're talking about misinterpret scripture. So, misinterpretation of scripture, and I believe at times, not having specifically someone that could correct us because simply we didn't know any better. So we're going to talk about maybe we picked four common scriptures that we have maybe learned when we were younger believers, but didn't exactly truly understood the context of it. Now, this might not be important to some, but I believe it makes a world of difference. I believe we should desire to learn not only to know the Bible, but to some kind of measure, know what Bible study methods are. And I know maybe a lot of the audience is going to say, I just need the Holy Spirit. Listen, I pray that the Holy Spirit directs us, and I believe it makes Scripture alive to us. I believe that.
Amen.
But like Jeremiah 29:11, or like Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, judge not, or Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, God will supply all of your needs. These are things that we commonly have quoted.
Come on.
Angelo, for the audience, let's explain what is the importance of staying within the context of the scripture and for what the author has meant and intended it for.
Amen. Importance of staying in context, Pastor, is Ledevsky Vorba. It's strategic, it's precise, and when we go with one chapter, one verse, with our own idea, we're inserting somangasame on the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a simple principle in interpreting the Bible. Systematic theology will teach you this, is scripture interprets scripture.
Yes.
Yes.
So, de magajanesa so penelkacha chapter, there would be another chapter and another chapter to coincide, to give structure and to back up what the written word is already saying. So it's important to stay in context because the Bible doesn't need an interpreter, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible interprets itself.
Amen.
That's the importance of being in context.
Amen. I remember starting off teaching, and I'm not going to say, I don't want to hide this because I feel there are many people that maybe started in the same way I did, Angelo, because I didn't have a teacher. I'm going to be straight out. I didn't have one that sat next to me and told me, no, it's not like this, Fabio, it's like this. I'm going to say the truth. And I remember, I think I shared this with you not too long ago, I was so afraid that would be out of context.
Yeah.
And most of my week was devoted to scripture. And I shared from the pulpit. I'm going to share it now. I was so afraid that I was going to give something that was not in context of scripture. And I used to devote 10, 11, and 12, and 15 hours of Bible study just to present 1 hour or 40 minutes or 30 minutes. Because I believe all of us should have reverence when it comes to the word, not to give something that is not in context of scripture.
Amen. I was going to say something later on in the episode, Pastor, but since you said that, a lot of us take a little bit of the chapter or the verse and we run with it. And, Janice, the problem is, I have to be totally honest and transparent, we procrastinate and we're so lazy to get to the Bible to read it for ourselves. And so what we do is we based upon what we heard from the pastor from one time at the Bible study, maybe somebody on the TV, Gajo, you watch that preaches.
Right.
And we run with that because we don't take the time out, Nick, to come to the Word of God and learn it for ourselves.
Amen. Right.
And that's the breeding ground to misinterpret Scripture.
Absolutely. Highlighted Scriptures. Thanks. And we want to use this. And if God allows us, we will do, I feel like, another episode about this.
Yes, of course.
There are many Scriptures that we grew up with. The popular ones, your Jeremiah, Philippians. I'm going to start off with you, Angelo.
Okay.
Okay, so your assignment for your scripture, and let's give some reading context for the audience. It is Matthew chapter 7, and verse 1 simply says, don't judge, or you too will be judged. That's all. That's what verse 1 says. And I think I have quoted this I'll be honest with you. I have quoted in my younger years, I've quoted, oh, but you can't judge. If you judge, God will judge you. Dang. And then we use it as a defense mechanism when somebody comes and corrects us.
Yes.
Because we say, well, the Bible says don't judge, and if you judge, you'll be judged. Now, in the context for the audience, and all of us are going to be guilty to this at one point or another, if you've been a believer long enough, you probably quoted this scripture, and I want the audience with clarity. Angelo, you're up.
Pastor, you said it very, very well. We stop just at that paragraph. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. Haikote, we stop. We stop right there. And we use that as like a security to shield us when we do something wrong, where we're telling the other person, hey, don't tell me, don't judge me because, oh, Jesus, Pinal, don't judge me. But, Pastor, what do we do? And I really feel like this needs to be said. 1 Corinthians 5:12 says something. Oh, Paul, Pinal, for what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? Paul is saying over here, you are to look out for those around you, ani kangari. It's not so much we're not giving a leadway, de penas, go and judge everybody you see. That's not what we're saying here. But de dikasa ik pral kai karil bimalades, or they're going astray, you do have the right to go and say, hey, listen, you're going the wrong direction, okay? Jesus, in the context of chapter 7, Pastor, he is warning against hypocrisy.
Okay.
Because if we read a little bit further down, it gives us, and we was talking about this earlier, the contextual meaning. Verse 3 says this, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Gotar, we could get the true meaning of what Jesus is saying. He's warning against hypocrisy, Pastor.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. So amazing, Angelo. So are we saying here, for the audience to clarify this, I believe this is going to be probably the most important question tonight. So are we saying that the people in that time that Jesus was addressing this to, they were telling people about their wrong and their sin, and they had greater issues within themselves?
Oh, of course.
Okay, so important to understand the context of it, that they had a whole log in their eye,
yeah,
and they were trying to address somebody else's sin and wrong when they had a whole heap of things that they were struggling with themselves.
Pastor, if we remember correctly, Jesus that the Pharisees was laying heavy burden upon the people that they themselves could not bear.
Amazing.
They couldn't handle, but mismo they wanted to throw these heavy burdens to carry them, and they weren't.
Amazing.
So that's amazing. Wow.
Amazing. So they were burdening the people to live a life of holiness, and them themselves were not abiding by it.
Correct.
So basically telling someone to live according to the word, but you yourself are living in sin.
This is hypocrisy.
Okay. So for the audience, I want to make this super clear. Love, I believe, and I said this earlier, and I'm going to say it opening the microphone because I have people in the room. There's more people back here that are up behind the table.
Tonight.
We got a crowd tonight. And I want to use an example. I got fellow servants in the church, brothers in Christ, I love and I care for dearly. And if I find myself in a position as their pastor that I see that any one of them are in error, I'm going to go take them aside. I'm going to tell them, not because I don't love them, but because I do love
them.
That's
correct. Hey, on the love.
I believe love allows you to go to that person in secret and address him because you don't want to make a public example out of that
Very
person.
Good, Pastor. Amen. Very
and,
good.
And then what happens is that, I might hurt some people by saying this, we're too quick to point the finger and pointing out the wrong instead of going to help that person.
Mm.
And I believe that's the problem with the judging part. Pointing the finger at the error and not trying
no solution.
To... No solution. The Bible declares in Galatians, it says that if any of you have been caught by surprise in sin, you that are spiritual, go restore that person with a spirit of gentleness, lest that you face the same situation of what they're facing.
Mm.
So with clarity, I want to make this very clear. Love will go to that person, but won't make a public mockery out of that person.
Correct.
Love will go and say, I want to help Steve. I want to help Angela. I want to help Danny. I want to help Michael. I want to help Joe and John. And this is the point. I want to help Andrew. And listen, let's speak the truth. How about maybe I might be in error?
Yeah.
But I'm surrounded by people. They're going to come and tell me, hey, Pastor, maybe that was wrong. And I'm willing to take it because the fact is that no one's perfect here. No one's perfect. And we have to have a calculated attitude towards each other, lest that we find ourselves, kako Instagram, or TikTok, kerdasa na mende, to where anytime we catch somebody in error, we roast them.
We want to expose them.
And that's not Jesus' approach. We roast them. We want to diminish their name. Amangaste tala to the gutter, to where they don't have a time to get restored. That's not how we're supposed to approach people. If you're telling me that God's love, then I've been reading another Bible then.
Okay.
And that's my approach on
Pastor,
that.
Pastor, can I say one more scripture? Because it fits so well, Sopinis. I know James chapter 5, 19, Dik Sopinel. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins.
Amen.
Amen.
God.
Amen. Very good.
Great. Listen, I think it's going to be my favorite for the night. So I believe extending to the same concept, Golia, I believe we find ourselves another huge misinterpretation.
Yes.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 13.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Probably one of the most quoted scriptures.
Yes.
I think my 10-year-old daughter knows it.
Yes. You not. Yes.
So I can do all things. Is this correct?
Yes, sir.
Through Christ Jesus who strengthens me?
Yes.
Golia, give us some insight. Because yeah. I think I probably applied that maybe 20,000 times in my life.
Yeah. I'd like to read the scripture first.
Come on.
Philippians 4. 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Beautiful passage of scripture. A lot of people I know, Pastor, use this scripture as a scripture for success, or a scripture, God's going to give me Delmano del Zor. I could do all things through Christ Jesus, Delmano del Zor, so I could get out of this situation. God could give me strength. I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me to mind my business better, to get richer. And I want to explain the context of this. And for us to do that, let's read a little bit before 13.
Before it. Okay, yeah. Come on.
Philippians 4, 12.
Okay.
I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything.
My God.
Wow, I have learned the secret of living in every situation.
Perfect.
Amazing.
Whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or a little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength.
Amazing.
Wow.
And this is what Paul is saying in this simple passage.
There's the context.
Here is the context of the scripture. This is what he's saying. That whatever life brings my way, whether it's plenty, I'm not going to forget about him. Whether it's little, I'm not going to give up. No matter what life brings my way, it won't shake me and it won't move me.
Beautiful.
That is the context of the scripture.
My God, I love it because that translation you read gives a very clear understanding for the audience again.
Yes.
He's not talking about success or prosperity or financial breakthrough. He's talking about that he has breakthrough no matter if he has a little.
That's right.
Or if he's a lot, or if he's hungry, or if he's full. In this case, can I just give some ideology with this concept, with this chapter, or this book?
Yeah, come on.
Paul is in a prison cell on the floor.
Amazing.
Yeah.
When he's giving this encouraging word to the church of Philippi.
Amazing.
And so that there, I would like to hear from someone that knows what it is to be down low.
Of course.
And giving a word of encouragement.
You know what's interesting? That scripture is quoted by Chache Gaje multi-billionaires. And they get up with that motivation.
Yeah.
Although I could do all things.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah.
more Apollo apostle. He's writing this down.
My God.
Amazing.
My God.
Amazing.
I heard a boxer quoted the other day.
Yeah.
He just beat a guy down for about 8 rounds. And he's a Christian boxer, I guess. And he quoted the scripture, and I'm looking at him. I mean, you can say it, but it doesn't mean it's right. And we have quoted it, but it didn't make it right. Like many things. I'm sorry, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel here, I think, for all of us.
Yeah.
We're just trying to give some clarity. This has been, I'm going to say this. I heard someone say something the other day, and I'm not going to highlight it so no one should get offended. It's going to be very difficult for us to grow spiritually if we don't know the context of Scripture.
Amazing.
Because we want to say, no, we just need love.
Yeah.
We just need forgiveness. That's okay. And if you don't have no word in you, then what's going to happen is that you're not going to learn how to fight against the lie and the schemes of the enemy. We're not going to know a promise of God if we don't get this Bible right.
That's right.
And then what happens after 45 years, there's been some stuff circling around recently that I feel like the audience, the people, did not know how to interpret, and we're waiting for someone else to give us the clarity. We, all of us, should be responsible to carry our own word and to know the difference when somebody is preaching something out of context. And I think for me, as being my point of growth, if to know the difference when somebody's speaking out of the context of Scripture.
Mm. Very good. Amen. Amen.
Doogie's got the same assignment for the same chapter. And your one's a little bit different. And I think it still connects to Golia's answer. Yeah. So you have verse 19. What, again, it says, God shall supply all of, I'm going to say it wrong, all of my needs, right?
Right.
So again, when we find ourselves in difficult situations, we tend to remind ourselves of this scripture. But again, Doogie, give us some context, give us some insight, and how can we apply this? Because it's like, it almost seems like it's conditional, if I can read it correctly. Mm. And I know you have some stuff to share on it. Again, your one is Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Read it for the audience so everybody knows the scripture we're referring to and take over.
All right, so Philippians 4, 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Beautiful, Angelo. And I believe you got to look at the whole book that was written to Philippi, and you realize the mission of that church, Pastor.
Yes.
You realize when Paul writes this letter, it's almost as a thank you letter for the support, Korea, that the Church of Philippi did.
Yes.
Very good.
When he was in a time of need, trade loi, trade prami. If you go up just one verse, the stuff that they send them was like a sweet aroma unto him, right? So what does it mean for us in today's standard? How do we apply this? The verse here is that God sees and meets our needs when we're active and supporting and walking in the will of
God. Very good.
But the problem is a lot of people, Pastor, get this verse, and I hear it a little differently sometimes.
Come on.
I hear people say, God shall supply all of my needs. We're not talking no longer, Korea, that the God of Paul that he serves supplying your needs. I'm saying that my God's going to supply my needs. I'm taking everything this man said in the scripture, and I'm throwing it out the window. And I love because the word need is there, right? But when we quote it, Pastor, it's our wants. Ooh, and I,
very good.
Man, I want very this. I see this watch. I see this car. Mm. That's not what it is. God knows what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. And sometimes we get a little anxious. We get a little excited. We see something new, a new car, a new watch, a new house. Man, I want that. Doesn't necessarily mean, Pastor, that it lines up with the will that God has for my life, and it doesn't necessarily mean that that is a need for me to go forward in my life. Amen?
You could become so spoiled to confuse a want for a need.
Exactly. Amazing. Exactly. Yeah, so I want to touch. So you see that there at the end of the verse, Angelo, I love because it says, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It completely shifts us out of the way. It's not what we see, not according to what we see, but according to what Christ sees.
Amazing.
I absolutely love that.
Amazing. Amazing. I think I want to say something. Highlighted situation for Paul in prison by a church that in reality, when you read the history, they weren't wealthy.
No, there wasn't.
There wasn't a wealthy church, but they looked at the need. So I think if I want to just highlight this, we don't need to have an abundance to help someone in need in ministry.
No, no.
because they didn't go help because they were so enriched. Actually, they were facing persecution at the most extreme because they were declaring that Christ is Lord and King when all that city of Philippi is where retired generals would go, and they accounted as Caesar as being Lord and King. Mm. So they were facing daily persecution, and I have to say this, there should be no excuse for any of us to say, I got my own problems, and I'm not going to go help someone in need. Wow. When I look at that, I say, wow, what a heart that no matter their own persecution and their own battles, they recognize that helping Paul would allude to something great. Catch 22, if the messenger of God was not there to aid Paul, we would not have today the letter of Philippi.
Yes, sure.
And that's that's amazing. I think that's one of those things that you get to see that, yes, Paul did bless them, did exalt them in what they did for him, but how of a blessing that today we look at the endurance of the Church of Philippi and still can subtract this blessing that can reflect to our application today. And I think that's amazing.
Mm. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, Pastor, I believe you got one for us too, right?
I hope I have one.
I think it's the most famous one.
I think it is.
I got the most famous one, all right.
On They're every not, bio and kitchen, dining room.
Oh.
What do I got?
Jeremiah 29:11.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Okay. So, sorry to crush your dreams, audience, but yeah, it's by the time I'm finished with it, I don't think you're going to want to quote it. No one's quoting it. Okay. When I look at the prophet Jeremiah, he gives a message of hope in their disobedience and exile.
Say that again. Okay. Pastor. Layman terms.
Okay.
Give us some backstory on it.
So the backstory is that Jeremiah,
the prophet,
Jeremiah, yes, consistently warned Israel of their disobedience, the judgment was coming, and judgment did come, and he gives a message to them in their position of exile and disobedience, and trying to tell them that even in their complete craziness that they turned away from God, God had a plan to still bless them. Now, I think I want to highlight this. When God gives you a hope in this text, it's not a right now.
Mm.
Because how long did it take for the restoration of Israel from that point? 70 years before they came back, the first wave by Zerubbabel to come back under King Cyrus by the Persian king to allow them to come back after 70 years to come back to rebuild the temple. And then what the problem is, I feel, and again, remember the context, right? Remember the context. The context is what it is. And we like, for God knows the thoughts, and that he says, it says that I have thoughts to give you a plan, to give you a future, to give you hope in the future. And it says, I'm going to read it in New King James. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And amazingly enough, when we want something, we want this scripture to apply it as a right now situation. Mm. And I don't believe that it's wrong to say that I'm going to look at it as individuality, meaning kana dikaskako scripture, I make a masavel personal, but God had an entire nation in mind to be restored.
Mm.
It's not just for ourselves. When God blesses a people, he wants to bless a city, he wants to bless a nation, he wants to bless a generation. I mean, we get this such a powerful scripture that God had in mind to restore millions of people back to the status, because at this point, the temple was in ruin. They have no place to worship. And after 70 years, they got to come back. So I'm going to say this. Jeremiah 29:11, from the time that the prophet spoke it, it took 70 years for this to come to fulfillment.
Amazing.
So I believe that's one. The other one I want to say is, it's definitely got nothing to do with money.
Mm, very good.
And we quote this, God has a plan to prosper me, to give me a hope in the future, financial aid, healing. And I have to say this, it's not about the promise of prosperity, but rather is a promise of spiritual restoration.
Come on, Pastor.
Jeremiah 29:11 is about a people that turned away from God, that forgot about the promise of God. They let other things get in the way. The verse should be interpreted that God was there to be faithful even though they were not faithful. God's promise for good things in his people. Yes, God wants to give us good things. But I promise you something by the word of God, that God is more interested to restore you spiritually than to restore
Amazing.
You physically.
Come on.
Very good.
And I believe that's the treasure for all of us. When we find out who he is, when we find out his majesty, his greatness, I believe our spiritual, you said something now, Kolya. He knew how to be content in every situation.
In every situation.
And he
yes,
can
sir.
Do all things. Knowing your Savior, knowing your God, and knowing your Lord, these scriptures should be have a lens to look at more spiritual application instead of physical. When we die to self, when we pick up our cross and crucify the flesh daily, and we're in the presence and looking for God through his word, I believe these things become more clear. Nobody's a professor here. Nobody's a big doctor in the word, theologist, konichi-san. We're reading for the scripture and for what it is. Simplicity becomes the most greatest effect.
Come
and
on,
I'm not
Pastor.
Talking about simplicity meaning ignorance. I'm talking about simplicity. Get the text for what it is. And if you want revelation, if you want rhema, everybody wants rhema. But nobody wants to go through the letter first. I have to say this to the audience. You want to go deep in scripture? Get your context right. Because otherwise we misinterpret a whole bunch of scriptures that way.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So I want to add something. And I believe, you know, the other three scriptures we quoted, Pastor. But when it comes to Jeremiah 29:11, it's such an important scripture amongst the Womania, amongst everybody, Angelo. Mm-hmm. We're not saying that God doesn't have a plan to prosper you. Not to peras on the and not to fall into harm. We're not saying that. That's not what we're doing. Our objective tonight is for the viewer to know that there's more to the scripture. There's more to one verse. When you're studying your Bible, totud, read a couple verses before, a couple verses after. And I believe that God will always give the ultimate discernment, Angelo, when it comes to the word, right?
Amen.
But there's just so much more than grabbing one-liners out of the Bible and holding on to it. We need to learn how to build our foundation on so many more things than these popularized scriptures, Angelo.
Amen.
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 There's two things about Jeremiah 29:11. When Jeremiah got that word, you got to imagine this. They're in chains.
Yes.
Being... them and their family going to a foreign land, knowing that they're going to become slaves. Hola.
Yeah.
And mismo, Aveli, what about Jeremiah for this hope in the future?
Amen.
But Shavali, what I'm about to share with you really shows us how God truly did have a plan and a future link. Early on, before the Israelites to inhabit the land, Pastor, in Leviticus 25, Odil, he gave them warning, Doogie.
Yeah.
That they were to let the land rest every Sabbath year.
Mm.
But they did not. They kept planting, harvesting, and it kept on going on where the Lord had to take them 70 years out of the land. That after that 7 years, the ground would have rest. And when they would come back, it would produce sarmangol, e pravarilinga, sotrubula se puf. God had a plan and a purpose, truly,
Amen.
Even in that.
Amen.
Amen.
Something to highlight, and I think it's going to bring a perfect combination to everything we're talking about. I myself personally, I'm an exegesis, teacher, preacher. I like to stay in context. For the audience, and the only reason I feel that this needs to be brought up, Angelo, is because... We both want to train the people to know the difference and give me the dangers of eisegesis. And briefly, I mean, we have to be in consideration. Should let's speak the truth. Opale pinastumenge. I'm actually somebody fancy
no.
people. We're simple people. We want you to know this, the audience. Let's speak the truth. Maybe you'll never meet us in your life. But we're reaching to you in your own home, and we want to make sure that this time is occupied correctly. Because this is a big problem on the Marechom. Because we read the one-header, Sapinasodugi, and we take it for what it is, and there's no application, there's no growth, and we can do a cop-out, but there's no love, and there's no mercy, and there's no gentleness, and but that's not going to help you grow. What's going to help you grow is knowing in the context, and I have to say, I'm the first one to say, I'm not about just the context. We're talking about the application. We're talking about living according to the word. Do I believe that God shows hidden things in the word? Yes, I do.
Amen.
I believe in revelation. I believe in Rema. I believe that God can inspire you to look at something that maybe thousands of people read. It's hidden, but God chooses to reveal it to his people. I believe that. But, Angelo, we talked about this in private many times.
Yes.
This is a moment where we get to clarify some things.
Yes.
Give us, at least for the most part, give us the exegesis and the eisegesis approach for the audience, because this here has to do with that.
In the simplest way possible, and you know, Pastor, when we had the idea for the podcast, we did want it, we always wanted it to flow in the direction to answer theological topics, right? And amen, I'm an applicational person. You know, of course, I get to share by the Lord's grace on Thursday. And I love searching the word to no so penelo dil aminga kana in the moment that rhema word ka pinesas, Pastor. But the difference in simple, we're not going too deep.
Simple,
in it.
Yes.
Simple.
Exegesis versus eisegesis.
Come on.
Some of us haven't heard those words, strange sandil aminga, and that's okay. It's not something you use in your vocabulary every day. Not.
Right.
Eisegesis, sir. Me inserting what I believe the scripture is saying. And we said that earlier. So I could take that verse and I could take that chapter, Pastor, and I could come up with an application first. So I could take a title, mismo, purvo.
Come on.
I then lavgo the title, Pastor, and I find my scriptures to go around this title. And now it makes it seem like this is what the Bible's saying from whatever I wanted it to say. You ever seen Poshoyo, people would take an article, letters, or from a newspaper, and they would put it together, and it's mismatched, but it says something that they wanted to say?
Yeah.
In the simplest term, that is eisegesis, okay? But what is exegesis?
Come on.
It is scripture to interpret scripture. I mismo, scripture is exposing itself. It's called expository preaching and teaching, where the scripture says, okay, so this is the meaning of the verse you read, given three scriptures or passages before, and that is called doctrine now. And now exegesis is executing, drawing out the meaning of truth, Pastor, letting the word draw out its meaning. The Bible needs no interpreter. You know, this book is the only book that comes with its author, the Holy Spirit, and he will illuminate and show you if you're willing not to But if you're willing to search my pendivla, I want to know what this chapter's saying. I want to take the time to read it. Hi, they do mamansa. And the Holy Spirit, as the teacher, will deliver the word. And that is the word exegesis. You will draw out the scripture with scripture. And this is what we want to do. We want to be executors of scripture through executing it properly. And this is Theology 101.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the question, I think, I keep on thinking about is, what kind of style of preacher and teacher was Jesus?
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's a good one. I like that.
So, I don't know if you guys know this, but for approximately about a year and a half of his ministry, he went to his people and was an expository teacher and preacher. He reminded them of the Torah, reminded them of the Old Testament prophets. He was so in context and precise. Yeah, they would grind their teeth because they couldn't have an answer for
him.
Because he was so precise.
Wow.
So,
because he knew what his word said about him, and they were taking his word and twisting it. Right? So, mismo wavilo, hey, you're twisting my own word. He brought correction. Wow.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
Not much has changed today.
Oh, wow. That's
wow.
Amazing.
Very good.
Because I can tell you in my time, people have got God's sovereign word.
Wow.
And because I've eisegesis, the dangers for me is making it say something that is not saying to have what they want the outcome to be done, which is, I'm sorry, no offense. Listen, I get talked about anyway. Believe me, I'm not really excusing anything. So I'm saying I have experienced the lack of not knowing. I'm going to say this, Angelo, Golia, Doogie, the lack of not knowing scripture. When somebody does twist the word to their advantage, you have nothing to say.
Scary. So scary.
It is, Doogie. Very
but
good.
When you know, and you can't tell me it says something that is not saying. The advantage, when you look at Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, the devil came with scripture to him, and he came to make it and twist it to what it wanted to say, and three times Jesus corrected it with what? The profound expository approach, what it means, not what the devil was twisting it to make it say what it wanted to say.
Amazing.
Just say it like this. The author of eisegesis, Shabali, mismo sud usmano.
Absolutely.
That's what he tried to do with O Jesus.
Absolutely.
Making scripture. See, that's the thing on Odusmano. He wants to give, it's not a full lie.
No.
Wo lil o chachimos sugutsa, and he takes that lie and twists it and presents it to you.
Amazing.
Mm.
I believe that part of my favorite episode of the year.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank God for you. I know we passed our little bit of our time for the most part.
40 minutes.
Watch out for the bonus clip. I'm going to say this. Next week, we want to touch more on this.
Yes.
But listen, I'm going to say this to the audience. Pick the scripture that you want us to give a clear interpretation. There's four of us. We'll pick up the best out of four. So when this gets broadcast, I want you. We're going to pick the most popular, the most demand. We're going to make four questions out of your four scriptures, and we're going to talk about it in the podcast. Amen. Gentlemen, anything else you want to add?
That's it.
God bless you.
God bless you guys.
God bless you guys.